Well, you know, I think these days everyone, well, nearly everyone has access to the World Wide Web, and as such, knowledge is just a few clicks away, and that's, of course, speaking of where to look in the first place. And with us in the studio this afternoon is Alistair McIntyre, the man behind www.electricscotland.com, the largest Scottish history site on the web. And, well, first of all, welcome to A Little Breath of Scotland, Alistair.
Oh, it's very kind of you. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's nice to have you along. So we want to know, first of all, when you got started, when did it all happen for you as far as this website that you have?
Way back, 1997 is when I started it. Basically, I was looking to build a website and trying to figure out what I'd like to do. And I've always been fascinated by Scottish history, but at school we got almost none at all. So I thought I'm going to explore this whole diaspora of Scottish history, Scots, and also what happened to the emigrants. Where did they all go? What did they get up to? And that's really when it all started, and I just started building it from there.
And your website now is the largest in terms of history information as far as Scots are concerned. How many pages do you have now?
On the core site, we've got over 12,000 web pages. But, I mean, a web page can be a chapter of a book, which gives you an idea of how big the content is. There's certainly gigabytes of content that are on there. But it's a whole mixture. I mean, I basically pick books that I like to read. I mean, they're a good read, and I can enjoy them, and I can explore things. And so when I find a good book, I basically OCR it and put it on the side. And over time, this becomes a place you can just dip into and have a wee read. I don't actually expect people to read an entire book on the site. In fact, we did a questionnaire last year about how often do people come to the site, and about a third of our visitors said they come daily. And I think a total of 85% came at least weekly to the site. Now, that's quite good, because it means I can put a chapter of a book up a week, and then the following, so they can get plenty of time to read that and enjoy it. But I tend to do maybe three or four books at a time. So, like, every week there's, like, it could be the Annals of Dunfermline, which is in the central belt of Scotland. At the moment, doing the Annals of Dumfries, which is very much the borders of Scotland. We're doing, like, Rothiemurchus, which is in the Highlands. So, you know, it doesn't matter where your area is, but we also put a lot of poems and stories up, and we put real audio on, and so it's a good old mix of stuff, really.
So in other words, if you just want to do something and enjoy yourself, and as I say, you don't have to be on there for hours, you can just find a little snippet in there, enjoy it, and come back next week or next day or whatever and find something else.
That's really it. I mean, I know one person wrote to me to say that every Sunday after he's had his breakfast, he gets a big mug of coffee, and it's all his family know that he's going into his study, and he spends 2 hours just reading stuff on Electric Scotland. He says it's just kind of a nice, relaxing time, really enjoys it. We also do a lot of work with Scots Independent Newspaper, because they're very much into culture of Scotland. And I think we must have the biggest recording, real audio recordings, of the old Scots language. The Scots language that Burns wrote, you know, to do all these poems. So if you wanted to pop into that, you'll actually hear Peter reading you. I mean, if you go to any of the words and click it, he'll read you the say the word in old Scots. He'll then give you the English translation. Then he'll use a phrase using that word, and then he'll translate it again for you. But he also does short poems, he does stories, there's some marvellous stuff on the site.
How long does this take you? It's a full-time, 100% job for you, and...
I'm fortunate, because I'm passionately interested in Scottish history, and therefore I'm doing something I just love doing, but certainly I spend a tremendous amount of hours doing it. I mean, the last 10 months I've been travelling. I mean, I spent 3 months in the Highlands of Scotland, and I just took a whole ton of photographs, and people seemed to absolutely love it, because, you know, I was going to the sky, and I put my hand out the window as I was driving and take a photograph, as long as the police aren't listening to that, you know. But I think I just got so many emails saying, this is wonderful, keep it up. And so I then went down to Kentucky, and I started to take lots of photographs in Kentucky, and the way family life was down there and everything. So, I mean, now I'm up in Canada. I mean, I went to Prince Edward Island, where I was staying with a very nice guy there, Christopher Ogg, who actually runs the island radio there. He's trying to get Wireless Island going. But I met tons of great people. I mean, they reckon 61% of the islanders have some Scots descent in them anyway. So I met some real good historians there, and they told me stories. I mean, everyone was telling me stories, and that's what I love, is stories. And that's what I try and put on the site. It's just lots of wee stories, but there are some bigger ones that you can read as well.
And you call your website electricscotland.com, and I'm assuming because electric...
Exciting! Yeah.
And one of the reasons you are here is that I understand on Friday, in conjunction with the Scottish Studies Foundation, you'll be having a little a little talk, was it? Would that, what, a little information session, would that be, how would you best describe your get-together, other than having a pint of beer somewhere in a pub?
I suppose it's going to be a great blether, really, right. You know, because I understand that most of the folks that are coming are Scots descent anyway.
Right.
And so they're just interested in Scotland. This is me to tell them a wee bit about it. I mean, we do a lot of different things on the site. I mean, for example, we have over 500 children's stories on the site, and they're all original stories written by an author for us. So if you've got young grandchildren and that, you can read them some lovely, gentle Scottish stories, you know, at bedtime. We've also got lots of little games for the kids. I mean, there's a... I forget the lady's name, but she's a Macintosh, or Mackenzie, rather. And she was saying she just played Dress the Chief before she coming along to meet me this morning. It's just one of these ones where you can drag the wee guy's trunk off, or give him different heads, you know, put different kilts on him and all that kind of stuff. So we try, I mean, essentially it's trying to get the kids involved. It was a mother that wrote to me once in the States to say she had a 9-year-old son and they were going to go to the Highland Games. And she just wanted him to wear a kilt. But like most 9-year-old boys, they're not going to wear a skirt, basically. So she says, anything possibly you can tell me that might help my son wear a kilt. And I just finished the account of the Fraser Highlanders in one of the American battles, in fact. And in there, the British Army were trying to say to them, you've got to wear a British uniform. And essentially what happened was that they said, the sergeant said, well, if you want to make us wear a British uniform, we're all going home. So they let them wear. But he wrote a wee report about a year later, and out of the whole overwinter campaign, about a third of the English army fell ill, whereas only two Highlanders fell ill in their kilts. So just go to show you, now, if you're going to be tough, you've got to wear a kilt. These cruisers are for sissies.
I tell you, I notice Alice is wearing a pair of shorts here this afternoon, but we won't bother getting into it. Listen, we'll take a break. We'll be right back.